War is not merely violence. It's a political instrument, a continuation of policy by other means. This deceptively simple idea forms the foundation of Karl von Clausewitz's masterpiece On War. Unlike military writers who focus on tactics or weaponry, Clausewitz examines war's fundamental nature through a philosophical lens. As a Prussian officer who witnessed Napoleon's revolutionary warfare firsthand, he distilled battlefield experiences into insights that continue to shape military thinking two centuries later. What makes Clausewitz revolutionary is his insistence that war cannot be understood as an autonomous activity with its own internal logic. Instead, war represents just one tool among many that states employ to achieve political objectives. The political purpose remains the first, the supreme, the most far-reaching act of judgment in warfare. This explains why conflicts vary so dramatically, from limited border skirmishes to all-consuming world wars, depending on the political aims driving them. Consider how this plays out in modern conflicts. The Vietnam War demonstrated American failure to account for the Vietnamese people's willingness to endure enormous suffering for political independence. Similarly, the 2003 Iraq invasion succeeded militarily but failed to anticipate the complex political forces unleashed afterward. In each case, understanding the political dimension proves essential for making sense of the conflict's course. Clausewitz frames warfare as a paradoxical trinity of competing tendencies: primordial violence, the people; chance and probability, the military; and rational calculation, the government. This trinity explains war's dramatic variations. When popular passions dominate, wars tend toward extremes, as with revolutionary France's citizen armies fighting for national survival. When calculated policy prevails, conflicts become more limited, like 18th-century cabinet wars fought for territorial gains. This shifting balance creates war's chameleon-like nature. This framework remains relevant today. Russia's invasion of Ukraine shows how miscalculating this trinity leads to failure. Putin expected a quick, rational war, but faced fierce Ukrainian resistance and unexpected Western unity. The trinity applies beyond battlefields to business, corporate culture, market uncertainty, strategic planning, and personal conflicts, emotional drives, unpredictable circumstances, rational interests, helping navigate competing forces in any competitive situation. Everything in war is very simple, but the simplest thing is difficult. This captures Clausewitz's concept of friction, the countless small obstacles preventing plans from being executed as intended. Like a traveler facing unexpected delays, military operations encounter numerous impediments that collectively degrade performance. Friction creates the fog of war, an environment where three-quarters of the factors on which action is based are wrapped in uncertainty. Commanders must make critical decisions with incomplete information, under stress, while exhausted. Modern technology has reduced some friction, but introduced new forms through system failures, information overload, and cyber vulnerabilities. Consider planning a wedding. Despite meticulous arrangements, the caterer gets stuck in traffic, the best man loses the rings, and rain forces venue changes. This demonstrates how small problems accumulate to complicate seemingly straightforward plans. To navigate this environment, Clausewitz argues leaders require genius, a blend of intellect and temperament, including coup de l'oeil, quickly grasping complex situations, determination, courage to decide under pressure, and presence of mind, remaining calm amid chaos. These qualities develop through experience and reflection rather than formulas. One of Clausewitz's most counterintuitive insights is that defense represents the stronger form of warfare. The defensive form of warfare is intrinsically stronger than the offensive. The defender enjoys better terrain knowledge, prepared positions, and shorter supply lines. Time favors the defender, while the attacker's resources diminish. Defense serves a negative purpose, preservation, while attack serves a positive one, conquest. This creates a natural balance where defense is the stronger form with the negative object, attack the weaker form with the positive object. The ideal strategy uses defense to build strength before transitioning to attack once sufficient advantage exists. This relationship creates the culminating point of victory, when an attacking force's strength diminishes until it can no longer maintain offensive operations. Napoleon's 1812 Russian campaign illustrates this. His Grande Armée advanced to Moscow, but passed its culminating point, leading to catastrophic retreat. This pattern extends beyond battlefields to startups expanding too quickly and athletes starting races too aggressively. Clausewitz's insight about defensive strength and overextension applies universally. Clausewitz introduces the center of gravity, Schwerpunkt, the source of power providing moral and physical strength. Striking this center achieves decisive results with minimal wasted effort. This center varies by circumstance. It might be the enemy's army, capital city, a powerful ally, or public opinion. Napoleon's center was his army. For insurgents, it might be leadership or popular support. Identifying the correct center requires deep understanding of the enemy's structures. In Vietnam, American forces focused on North Vietnamese military capabilities while missing the true center, the political will of their leadership and population. This concept extends beyond warfare to business and personal development, enabling targeted approaches through concentration of force. As Clausewitz states, the best strategy is always to be very strong, first in general, and then at the decisive point. This principle of focused effort remains essential in any competitive endeavor. Clausewitz insists that moral forces are among the most important subjects in war. These intangibles, courage, skill, patriotism, and determination, often prove decisive in combat. In war, he observes, the moral is to the physical as 3 is to 1. History repeatedly demonstrates this. Greek city-states defeating Persia, Vietnamese forces overcoming American technology, and Finland's initial resistance against the Soviets in 1939. Clausewitz emphasizes boldness as essential for leaders. Given the same amount of intelligence, timidity will do 1,000 times more damage than audacity. Boldness isn't recklessness, but the acceptance of calculated risks, though it often diminishes with rank as responsibility breeds caution. This principle extends beyond warfare. Teams with technical proficiency may fail without cohesion, while underdogs triumph through sheer will. Modern organizations recognize this through their emphasis on culture and shared purpose, knowing that spirit multiplies effectiveness in competitive environments. 2 centuries later, Clausewitz's ideas influence military thinking globally. Democracies, revolutionary movements, and authoritarian regimes all find relevant insights for their context. Clausewitz endures because he focused on war's permanent nature rather than its evolving character. While weapons, tactics, and technologies change, the fundamental relationship between politics and warfare remains constant, with reason, chance, and passion continuing to shape all conflict. His concept of friction anticipates modern systems theory, recognizing how small disturbances create major effects in complex environments. His emphasis on war's psychological dimensions and historical analysis methodology still influences military training and education. Clausewitz teaches humility about warfare's complexity. Against those seeking simple formulas or technological solutions, he reminds us that war remains a true chameleon, adapting to circumstances. His essential message persists. Human conflict is shaped not by weapons or algorithms, but by the interplay of political purpose, human passion, and unpredictable chance.